Good morning. My name is Ron McNeil. I am going to be teaching Sunday school for the month of June and the first 2 weeks of July. I think it is, man, so interesting that the children are doing the catechism, because I don't know if Melvin intended this or not, but it dovetails pretty well with what this six-week course is going to be. This is a course that was put together by Lifeway, and the title of it is Imago Dei. Took me a while to figure out how to say that. It means the image of God, I guess you can figure out. And I'll get to why maybe this dovetails well with the children studying the catechism. But, you know, first is just sort of an attention device and an introductory. How many people, there's a very expensive plot of land about 4 miles west of here that a lot of people in this room either attended or their children attended. How many people remember showing up at this very expensive plot of land 4 miles west of here when they were 18 years old? I remember that about 20 years ago. And I remember that being from a small town in rural Mississippi, it hit me pretty quickly how important image was at that place. It was a way to dress. There were certain things that you were expected to do. There were ways that you were expected to act. And I feel like I fit into those norms as well as or better than most people, certainly not as good as everyone, but as well as or better than most people. And there were still times when I felt like my image was wholly insufficient for that place 4 miles west of here. And to contrast that with the idea that we are made in the image of God is something that we'll be talking about over the course of the next 6 weeks. So let's go to the next slide, Randall. These are a couple of questions to consider just as we open up. First, there's a scripture here. So the first week of this Imago Dei study is about creation and fall. And we'll just sort of, every week we'll open up with a scripture. And this one is Genesis 1, 26 through 27. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. We're going to watch a video in just a minute that is just sort of a compilation. It's about 15 minutes, and it's a compilation of a bunch of different people talking about this topic of the image of God. And as you watch it, I want you to think about these two questions. Have you ever heard the phrase, the image of God? Where have you encountered this idea before? What does it mean to be made in the image of God, and what traits does this concept include? Let's see. So I have several slides here, but we only have, what, 12 minutes? 10:30? Okay. All right. So we're going to go a little bit faster than I planned to go through this. The audience participation portion of the lesson is going to be limited. but there are a couple of things that I want to talk about. I do want to talk about, you know, Al Mohler talked about in that second question there, talking about being made in God's image. What does that teach us about human dignity? And what does it teach us about idols and idol worship? And Al Mohler said, does the image of God survive the fall? In Romans 8:21, it talks about our slavery to corruption. I think this kind of refers to our idea of ourselves being corrupted. We have accepted a lie that we are lacking something or even completely empty. Kind of the way that I felt sometimes, you know, when I was thinking about my image on campus at Ole Miss. When in fact, God says we are full of His glory, made in His image, but we've accepted this lie that we are empty. And so, in doing so, we start to look for things to fill ourselves up with. And that's what idol worship is. It's taking good things that God created for us and trying to turn them into ultimate things for ourselves. This lie started in Genesis 3 when the serpent told Adam and Eve that they just were not enough, right? The serpent said to the woman, this is Genesis 3, 4 through 5. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from the tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the lie that he told Eve and that she repeated to Adam was that there is something lacking in you. And, you know, when we are made in the image of an infinite God, if we say that something is lacking in us, you know, infinitely, that means everything is lacking in us. We are totally devoid. We are totally empty. So that's the lie that we've been told. Let's go to the next slide. What does the idea of a world without image bearers teach us about God's character as the Creator, and what does it reveal about the ways that we reflect the image of God in human culture? They reference Romans 3, 23 and 24, and we're in, you know, a Reformed church, so we're all about Romans 3, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 24 goes on to tell us that we are justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The video tells us, you know, that means that our image has been diminished. That's what Romans 3:23 means for us. It has been diminished, but it has been preserved because God is more powerful than our sin. Romans 3:24 tells us that we are justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. One of the great things about, or one of the encouraging things to me about our redemption is it makes us, though we are broken and incomplete reflection of Christ, even in that brokenness, it reflects God's goodness. Because even in our brokenness, God shows the world what He's capable of doing. Our redemption, the work that He does in us, reveals Himself to the rest of the world. So even in our failures, God is able to reflect His grace to the rest of the world. What are some of the ways sin has distorted your relationship with God and with others, with the world around you? Well, sin makes us not only deny the image of God in ourselves, but it makes us deny the image of God in others. And so we look at people's clothes, and we look at people's jobs, and we look at people's families, and we decide that they are lesser than. And we look for ways to distinguish ourselves as better humans than them. And we do that because we want to be more godlike than them. The only way that we can justify ourselves to ourselves is comparatively to these other people who are not as good as we are. So where in life are we able to see God's good design as well as the brokenness that comes from sin? And I thought of a few examples, and I'll go through these kind of slowly so you can maybe reflect on them. I think we can see God's good design as well as the brokenness that comes through sin in marriage. I think we can see it in our friendships, in parent-child relationships, You think about in 1 Samuel, the Israelites, you know, going and saying, we want a king, asking God for a king. Government is a place where God's design has been broken by sin. In work, in the ways we build our image and our comfort with ourselves through our jobs. What areas of your life show that the image of God has been broken by sin, and how have these areas been distorted from their original designs? I can think of one, you know, particularly personal way, and that's the image of God has been distorted literally on my body by a big scar that's going just underneath my rib cage from where they had to take out my sick liver and put in a better one. Right? And that liver did not get that way all by itself. There were things that I did that broke that liver. And now there's a big scar across me. Literally, I am marred by my own decisions and by my own sin. We can see this. Let me keep moving. So why is it important to be able to recognize the storyline of Scripture as the backdrop of our life stories? I loved this image that we heard from the video of saying that sin is not a tumor. It's a blood cancer that has like totally infected our bodies. And you know, what is the storyline of Scripture help us to realize about that? Well, here's what I think it helps us to realize about that. Religion treats sin like a tumor. Religion makes you want to evaluate your life so that you can find the places that you were deficient and you can cut them off like a tumor. But the Bible does not accept sin that way. The Bible says that we need a whole life transformation. I mean, more than just one organ transplant. We need a whole life spiritual transplant. We need the whole system to be redone and renewed. The redemptive story of the Bible is not just a blood transfusion. It's a whole body system transplant. Okay, so then the last slide. So you have some homework, and the homework is this. First of all, that we will do a little. I think we do have just a couple of minutes for audience participation. Is there anybody that you know feels compelled to respond to any of this stuff that we've talked about so far? Okay, great. Super, super duper. So your homework is to think about being an image bearer and ask yourself, to whom do you know that is lost and searching right now? How can you help them see the glory of being an image bearer despite their brokenness? Whom could you affirm in their glory and worth as an image bearer? So the opportunity and the homework this week is reach out to somebody with encouragement for ways that he or she is growing and bearing God's image. And as you can guess, maybe the first thing we'll do next Sunday is ask for volunteers who might be able to talk about this experience. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. We thank you that you have made us in your image. And we ask that you would help us to live up to that day to day. We praise you for your redemption of us despite our brokenness. And Father, we thank you for the work of Jesus Christ, who did that for us by dying on the cross for our sins. We pray all these things in his holy and precious name. Amen.